Welcome to Building My Legacy Podcast. This podcast is designed for leaders and entrepreneurs who want to leave a legacy and will provide strategies that focus upon key elements for legacy creation, determining your desired impact and its benefit, increasing your legacy's reach by engaging key stakeholders, planning, prioritizing, and executing. Here's your host, Dr. Lois Sonstegard.
Well, today is officially Black Friday, a day where a lot of businesses are hoping they're going to get a jolt and move things forward as we get ready for the holidays. But our businesses are really in trouble. They are, as we have identified in talking with Lois Sonstegard over the past couple of weeks. And she is somebody that coaches CEOs, works with businesses, gets them back on track, helps them identify what the issues are. And she's back with us today. Lois, welcome. How are you?
You know what, Steve? It's so good to be back. So thank you. Thank you for all of what you've done. It's been great to be with you.
Great to have you here, too. And I don't want to be the bearer of negativity, but it is every time we look at our businesses, there are challenges out there. And we've identified many of those, but also ways to improve them. One of those is collaboration. And that's been, it's been a buzzword for a while. We've been talking about it over the past couple of weeks. Before we dig back into it, your definition of collaboration, just so everybody's on our page.
Great. So collaboration is when two or more people come together to work together. And here's what's important: to share a common goal. So just to get together for the sake of getting together, you're connecting, you're networking perhaps, but you're really not collaborating. So you've got to have a common goal that you're going to work on, because otherwise, how do you know if you're going to have a result?
This is true. And again, we did say a second ago, I said, so everybody's on the same page, but in collaboration, that is the key. So everybody does identify what the goals are and they're working toward them. So that being said, we talked about the framework for collaboration, the importance of it. What's the process? That's what we're going to talk about today, how to implement collaboration in your life, or maybe even reach out to somebody else and suggest it.
Right. So you look at what's going on. And for me, I think of when there's problems, there's great opportunity. Just take a look at what Elon Musk has been doing with Twitter. He reduced his workforce by half and increased the number of people that are using his platform, right? So you go, how do you do that? And I think part of it is being very clear about what it is that you're trying to accomplish and who you're working with to get that goal accomplished. On the one hand, people were waiting for Twitter to fall apart, right? Because of the negativity and what was not working. And I think what Elon Musk demonstrated for me is, in this world where it seems like things are falling apart, where there aren't opportunities, actually, that's where some of the greatest opportunity comes forward, because we have to think differently. And collaboration is one of those ways in which we really can think differently. So process. We started by talking about who you want to partner with. We spent quite a bit of time on that last week. Mm-hmm. Choosing the right partner is really important. And then the next thing is goal. One of the things that I find so sad is when I am talking with companies right now, or individuals within, you know, organizations trying to get things done and across silos, is people will say, well, we can't do that. Or we've been there, done that, can't do that. Or we don't have the resources to do that. So you get the list of the things that can't be done because of our perspective. We think from what our current experience is. So I think we talked a little bit about this last week, which is start by asking yourself the question, what would I dream in terms of a solution for this problem? So let's say you're having trouble getting employees. What would be a really dream outcome that you might want, right? Or you're having supply chain issues. What do you dream would be the ideal solution? Start there, because that will expand your thinking. And then the next question that goes with that is, if I'm really going to accomplish that dream, who do I need to bring alongside of me? And when you ask yourself that question, ask yourself, what's their attitude, positive or negative? If it's a negative attitude person, just eliminate it right away. Don't even bother, because they will drain you of all of the energy that you have, and you begin to shrink down in your thinking. Remember, we're expanding. We're looking outside to find more possibilities, more options, different options. And it's what other people bring to you that allows you to think that way. Then look at, what are their resources? What are their experiences that are different from mine? Are they different? If they're not different, you're going to have just more of the same thinking. So look for, are there differences? What's their experience? What's their education? Is it different from mine? We tend to come together with people of like mind because we're comfortable there. If you're going to find opportunities, you're going to move into your zone where you're not totally comfortable. So you're not going to want to be with people that just make you feel comfortable. You're going to want people who question you, who say, why are we doing it that way? Well, why haven't we done it that way, right? And you begin to explore things in a different way. Once you do that and you have a goal that you're working on together, then sit down and say, okay, in 3 years, what could we accomplish working together? 1 year, 6 months, 3 months, or 1 month, and start to develop action plans. And Steve, one of the questions I get a lot of is, okay, so I do that, but you know what? There are a lot of people that don't pull their weight. And I'm so tired of being the one who carries the weight for everybody else, right? And so one of the things that's really important in this process is you are very disciplined in how you hold each other accountable. So one of the things that I have companies that I work with do is to take every month, and sometimes I'll do it more frequently depending upon, you know, who it is that I'm working with, just sit down on a scale of 1 to 10. What was the energy each partner brought to working on this goal together, right? Don't wait 6 months to figure this out that you've got a problem. If you do this every month and you're evaluating on a scale 1 to 10, all of the partners, not yourself, all the partners, and then you take their mean scores, and that's that person's energy contribution to the goal this month. That way you can have a real honest conversation. Why is the energy missing? Where is the disconnect between you and what it is that we're trying to do, right? It is one of the things we don't talk about and put on the table very easily because we're uncomfortable with it. But if you just say, we're measuring it every month, we take the mean score and we talk about it. Now it takes that uncomfortable conversation and puts it on the table in a very objective format. And sometimes there's good reasons and you want to know why, right? If they're a good partner, you want to know why and you want to address it. So that's one of the things that I look at. The other thing is you establish your goals and your objectives and what you want to get done. Then do some real measurements on it. You've got specific things that need to be done. And on a scale, I use a Z-score because it follows a standard curve, right? So from -3 to +3, was this member on time with their contribution? What was the quality of their work on a scale -3 to +3, right? So you start asking some of those questions and you, again, have everybody evaluate each other on a monthly basis, get a mean score, and you can put that on the table again. If you want a good outcome, you have to have everybody pulling their weight. It's like we talked a little bit last week, I think, about collaboration is a little bit like having an orchestra, right? And yes. having you need somebody who's going to be the conductor who keeps everybody on task. But imagine an orchestra where the trumpet section decided this month that, you know what, they just didn't really want to play all the notes. You would have a mess.
Absolutely.
We allow our organizations to run that way because we don't measure on such a simple scale. Did you really show up? Did you really do your work in a timely way? And here's what's wonderful. People want to do a good job. They want to be accountable. They want to have people say, great, it was great to work with you. And one of the questions I got from one of the groups I was working with was, well, but what if everybody gets a +3? I laughed and I said, well, don't you want everybody working at absolute excellent capacity? Then you've got a great organization, right? Not just a mediocre. But in our grading system from schools, the way we've been brought up, it's like, we've got to have A's, B's, C's, and D's. No, if you've got a really well-functioning team where people are acknowledged for their contribution, they can work at their maximum, and that you want to encourage it. Now, do they always? No. But that's what your measurement system will allow you to do.
Well, to your point before, and even connecting to school, because in my mind, that's where I was going. A lot of kids nowadays are given those high scores just because we want them to feel good. And not the best thing overall. And in my opinion, it's not reality. Everybody gets a trophy. No. And in the business side, maybe, you know, the person that said, well, if everybody, you know, hits a 3 and that's really great, is it being real? I think we need to be real. We need to go back to being real. And my takeaways from what you're saying so far is on the goals, dream big. It's okay.
Dream.
Yeah. Go for it. Shoot for the moon, whatever you think. Because my thinking is, you shoot here, if you attain that, well, that's fantastic. But if you get that, that's pretty darn good too, especially if you're operating right in this zone. And the expectations, you know, and like you just said, it's almost awkward when we're going to talk about how well John did, you know, because we're equals, we're all working together. But if you set those expectations every month, yeah, we're going to take a look at how we're doing and be honest with each other. If one put in more than the other and kind of tweak that, I think it basically comes down to expectations, right?
It is expectations. And so here's the issue. You have a result, you have a goal, you know, this month, we're going to accomplish this, right? Say you've got everybody getting a +3 rating, but you didn't meet your goal. Well, you go, just a minute. Something didn't work. So what are we misperceiving that caused this disconnect? So to your point, we're so used to saying, oh, you know what? They're my friend. I'm going to fudge it a little bit. They didn't really mean to not quite do what they needed to do. It shows up. So you look at the result and you look at the ratings, and it really does force very early on a conversation that many times we wait too long. We wait until the profit, you know, bottom line has been impacted, or until we start seeing people exiting a company, or we see, you know, some other big problem like with supply chain, and we go, oh, wow, I didn't see it coming. Well, usually there's red flags, yellow warning signs all along the way. We just didn't bother to look at them.
We're getting instant feedback right now. Instantfeedbacksteve@gmail.com. This is from Jeff in West Palm Beach, Florida. And he says, I appreciate your conversation about collaboration. Does it always need to be somebody you're working with outside of your business to be a true collaboration?
No, you can do it within your company. And I think one of the things that we find in conversations, just take a look at the research right now on engagement, is that people are finding, just please ask me my opinion. Please involve me. Let me be a part of it. I have opinions. I've learned things, discovered things. I'd love to make it better. Can you let me make it better? So creating this process within the company makes it powerful. So if you're working company to company, I like to see this whole process implemented within the company as well, because you want the company and all the people within it strong. Then you have that much more to contribute, right? So great question. I appreciate it because it really all begins with what's right around us.
And you'll know what's right. If it's your company and your life's work, your blood, sweat, and tears, you're going to know. It just really comes down to implementing things, moving things forward. So now that we've set the goals, we've set the expectations, we've set the barometer for looking at the productivity of the people involved, where do we go from there in the process?
So we've got our action plan, right? We start to make our action plan. And one of the things that I have people do is to take a look at what are the resources we have. In order to accomplish this, do we have the resources that we need to meet this deadline? And if you don't, then look for some, do you need additional partners? Do you need advisors? Do you need, they don't all have to be a partners. They can be sometimes advisors, right? But start to build it out so you've got the resources you need. In supply chain, you're not going to solve that problem without looking at it in a larger perspective because it's a big problem, right? Same, I think the same thing is becoming true with our employees, with internally. What are the resources our employees are bringing to solving the problems that we have within our organization? And do we even know what they are? Sometimes, you know, people, you talk with people and they'll say, well, I could have helped. But no one asked. And then you talk to the leader or the manager and they go, well, I had no idea, right? That they could have helped. And so there's this disconnection. So if you just start by looking at what's the problem we're trying to solve, who do we have involved, and what are the resources they're bringing? Do we have enough resources to solve the problem? And then take a look at each one of them and their resources. And what are those people's resources and those people's resources? We have an exponential number of people right at our fingertips to help us solve what seemingly big problems sometimes in a very easy, quick way if we just simply allow them to do it. And I don't remember if we talked about this in one of our earlier discussions, but when I had my manufacturing company, we were dealing with a marketing problem that we didn't know how to address it. And my marketing manager said to me, well, I have a friend who works at this big company. I think they've dealt with it. Let me see if they have or she has an idea of how we should think about this differently. She texts her. 5 minutes later, we have this response. This is how we would approach it. Hmm. Right? She was empowered to ask questions, but to look at her resources, not just our narrow company resources. Let's look at our bigger network of resources. We don't ask that question often, and people really would like to contribute.
When you're, Lois, when you're looking for a collaborator, and it's somebody outside of your business, should you be looking at all they can bring to the table?
Absolutely. You know, what have they done? What's their experience? But what are their resources as well? What's on paper in black and white resumes, for example, gives us not a clue about a person's resources. And yet, I think it's that piece that may be the most valuable part of what that person brings to the table. It tells you a lot about how adaptable they've been, their flexibility, who they've reached out to. Are there resources only people who think and do exactly what they do? That tells you about the individual, right?
Absolutely. And it's who they keep company with as well. Like if I were to make a change right now in my business, I would be looking at somebody. I would be looking at their creativity. And I would also be looking at who they're connected to and how well they pivot when there's a challenge. Because if you have the resources, I can't believe that happened. All right, let's call this person. They probably will have the answer. And it's, you don't always know who everybody knows, but you kind of have an idea, right?
Right. So if you've built your relationship, you've got an attitude of, we're going to do this. And we've got it mapped out. We're committed to doing it. Mm-hmm. We just need to figure out the resources we need. It's amazing. It's amazing what can be done. But we limit our thinking. We limit our dreaming to begin with. Secondly, we limit the partners that we bring to the table. And then thirdly, we limit our ability to think expansively about resources. A key part of collaboration is also that accountability piece. You've got to measure. You have to measure. You have to, and that's why your action plan, your objectives have to be very specific, but chunk down. We tend to do action plans bigger scale, like a year, maybe 6 months. We can't in our minds get our minds around that. We need start, finish, start, finish. And then that energizes us to keep moving. So I really like to look at that 1 month, maybe 3 months at times, depending upon what you're working on.
Sure.
Set those action plans, have your deliverables, make sure they're measurable, and then measure, measure, measure. And it's not a lot of things you're measuring. It's, did we get the result? Is it on time? What's the quality? And what was the energy we brought?
So I'm hearing from you, it's time to get specific in that measurement. All those things, not just, you know, bottom line, and did Mike put in a lot of effort? It's going considerably deep to make sure that you stay on point.
Absolutely. 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 And I think it gets rid of also all of the clutter of conversations we're having right now with, but what do I say? How do I say it? Is it PC today? Am I going to offend somebody? Because you've changed now the focus to the result. And what's my contribution for that? So the extraneous things that are keeping us small, that are keeping us afraid, that are keeping us from being unengaged, you get rid of them. They're not important anymore.
I think we've turned into a set it and forget it society. With everything being so automated, when somebody works on a project, it's almost they're thinking, well, how can I work on this now so I don't have to do it again, put all the things in place and just let it go? But sometimes that's not really the best way to do it.
Right. And the problem with this set it and let it go is every time we do a new activity, we change as an organism. Think of it as simple as you change your diet today and your exercise program, you as a person change because maybe you've eaten more sugar like we've done over the holiday, right? Mm-hmm. And so your body is now struggling to adjust to it. Living, breathing organisms are constantly adjusting to what we put in.
Yep.
Our organizations are the same. You change one thing here, other things change and we adjust. So we need a way in which we can have everything measured and then tweak and reset. So you stay on schedule. So you actually meet your goals. And then there's so much joy that comes because there's that sense of accomplishment, fulfillment. Now you don't have a discussion of, you know what, you didn't perform. Yes, we did. Take a look. Not only did we perform, but we performed at an excellent level. And we can't wait for the next challenge.
Yeah.
Right?
And what a great feeling that is, Lois, when you know that you have the systems in place. And after the first period of time, call it a month, 3 months, whatever it is, when you evaluate what you've done and it all fell in place, it's like, this is working. It's what the best feeling in the world.
And it's no longer crisis. It's planned. It's systematic. So here's also the challenge that you have as organizations. As you grow and develop, everybody else has to change as well, right? So you have to always check, go back and check. Do we need a new process now, a new procedure? Because we've moved to this point. So again, back to you set it and leave it. If you do that, you've now forced yourself to lose time and momentum. Because you're not resetting your processes to keep up with the momentum of the group.
Everything, like you said, and it's so true, is always moving, always changing. You can't, even if you set it and forget it at one point, there's still stuff going on behind the scenes. And something could happen overseas. Something could happen domestically. Something, it's always going to be ever changing. So yeah, you got to be able to pivot. We're just about out of time. Fascinating conversation today. I mean, like we dug in deep. I truly did on collaboration.
The fun thing is you have opportunities you've never seen before when you start to collaborate. And Steve, I think that if the mid sector of business is going to thrive, they've got to move in this direction because you don't have enough resources. If businesses are going to get strong with their employees, they've got to collaborate within themselves. And so it is something I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about bringing companies together in ecosystems and partnerships to really build that strength so they've got the resources they need so they can solve the problems, so they can dream big.
Yeah.
Right. We need to be the strongest group of companies, and we can be, but we need a process. Same thing with our companies internally. So I love working with people who want to go to that next level, that next step, and really become something much more than they thought possible.
And with your experience, you can peel back the layers like that and see what's going on or what's not going on. And it's something that as business owners, a lot of us aren't going to see that. You're a collaborator in some way, you know, when you think about it, right?
You know, I think everything about my life has been collaboration. Mm-hmm. And partly it's because I think of that early upbringing in Japan, where it is much more of a collaborative society.
Wow.
But there's also more fun. There's so much more fun when you collaborate because you feel alive. It's not, I'm just going to work. No, yes, you're going to work, but you're creating more. So you feel alive. You feel like you're contributing. You're making a difference in a way that you couldn't any other way. So yes, I am a collaborator. It is a part of my DNA.
Before we get to your website, I don't want to digress much here, but you said Japan, and my son is 16 and very much fascinated with the culture. And he just said the other day that he wants to go to Japan. Can we do it as a father and son getaway? So we're literally somehow planning on going to Japan. And now I'm studying the culture and it's like, wow, so interesting, from the food to everything else. So it must have been an interesting beginning for you.
It is an interesting culture and one that we have a lot to learn for. So here's a great example that I'll give you. I took a bunch of business people from America to develop some business partnerships in Japan. And we were on the bullet train. And because of the people we were with, we were on first class. And, you know, we were sitting there and at one of the stops, it was the bullet train. So it moved quickly. One of the Japanese passengers had gotten off at the stop, and another person came on and sat down. And before he sat down, he noticed there was 5 yen in the seat. And he picked it up, put it in his hand. And about an hour later, the conductor came through and he says to the conductor that somebody who was sitting here in the seat before me left this 5 yen, which is 5 cents, basically. Can you please look up who this person is and return the money to that individual? Now, it cost him more money to put the 5 yen in an envelope and mail it, right? But the perspective is, my honor rests in having integrity, being honest. And so 5 yen, 5 cents was important to return to the owner. Think of it, if we just have those values.
You just warmed my heart with that. It is, yeah, it says a lot right there, because I'm a firm believer in do the right thing. And the right thing is that it doesn't belong to you, that money. And if you can find a way to return it, whatever amount it is, it might not even be money. It could have been a charm off a bracelet, but that could have meant so much to that person. So yeah.
That's true.
Interesting. Lois, your website, right, is buildtomorrow.com. That's build the number two, morrow.com. And anybody can reach out to you, business owner, CEO, just to get more insight on collaborating or working with you.
Right. I'd be glad to talk with anybody. And certainly the email Lois@buildtomorrow.com And I think you've put up my cell phone number, 952-265-39. I may not answer it if I'm on a call like this or doing something else, but I'll answer it eventually. Usually within a day or two, I'll get back to you. So just leave a message. Let me know what you are calling about, and I'm glad to help. It's important. And so I'm glad to reach out and help if I can.
Appreciate you being here. Collaboration is key, and looking forward next time we get a chance to talk.
Thanks so much, Steve. And you have a great...
I'll be picking your brain on that one again.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
Take care.
We'll be right back.
You've been listening to Building My Legacy podcast with Dr. Lois Sonstegard. To book your appointment with Dr. Sonstegard, visit www.buildtomorrow.com.